Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California here on a Wednesday. Mr. Henry, back from all that stuff he was doing. We had our encore show yesterday. Then we got Jim Sadler, Dr. Jim Sadler, after Vernon Dozier to talk about the fact that both of these men are married to women 30 years younger than them and who's who and what's what. And we also have Steve Bozell, who wants to produce a sitcom pilot, wants Mr. Henry to help him with it. Now here's Phil Henry. Thank you, Robert. Robert Leonard there, along with Bud Dickman. We have General Galen Shaw and Margaret Gray here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Now, what is Stephen Bozell? He thinks you can help him get a pilot produced?
I don't know. All I know is that he called. He has a sitcom script, and he has...
Who's going to produce this thing?
Yeah, what's the studio? Yeah, what's the studio?
Oh, right, but what do you think you all know about it and everything?
What do you mean?
What's the studio?
Bud's asking who owns the cameras?
Well, that's a good question.
I know.
I believe it's a friend of his. Not a friend of his. It's a friend of his wife's.
A friend of his wife's?
Well, we'll find out from Steve. But he has a production, an independent video or television production company that would like to go ahead and produce a pilot for a sitcom that Steve has written. And then he would shop it. He wants to do this the hard way. And
yeah, coming to you to help him get it produced. I'd call that the hard way.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not denying that. I don't make any big claims to being Mr. Hollywood here or anything. Then we also, as you heard Robert mentioned, we have Jim Sadler and Vernon Dozier.
Now, this is a very good point, because Vernon Dozier married, as we all know, as we heard on the Encore program, married a woman a good 30 years his junior out of high school. But Dr. Jim Sadler also, into his 50s, married a woman in her mid-20s, is my understanding.
Yeah. Now, there was some confusion. You know, yesterday we heard, Coach Dozier mention his wife, Mandy. And I listened to this and remember thinking, I thought Dr. Jim Sadler's wife is Mandy.
You know, Phil, you're right.
No, I don't think so.
No, Phil's right. They're both named Mandy.
No, I think one is Mindy.
What do you mean one's Mindy?
Well, I thought they both... We'll find out from these guys. Not that it's the most earth-shaking, important stuff in the world, but I found it to be a rather interesting thing. Now, I had a couple of questions during the pre-show, and I thought I tried to address them during the pre-show. If you are a Backstage Pass subscriber, by the way, you get an exclusive pre-show. That means this that you're listening to right now is our daily show, and this is publicly, we publicly share this for about 30 days. Then this goes behind a paywall, but almost all of our archives are behind a paywall. And that means archives of audio shows and things that we've done going back to the 90s, early 1990s. What am I trying to say here?
You're talking about the pre-show.
Yeah, the pre-show. But we do deliver every day a pre-show and a video cast, which you can only get if you're a subscriber to our website. On the pre-show, I was talking about, or was I?
On one of the six pre-shows, Phil tried to, he stopped and start this.
Yeah, he stopped and started a pre-show.
By the way, where's Robert?
I'm sorry. I meant to mention, I'm sorry. Robert called.
He called in. He said he's stuck in traffic.
He said he was stuck on PCH because apparently there was an accident.
You know what? That's one thing about any of you guys. I will say this about you guys. You're never late. And Robert's late.
Well, Robert's late, but also you've just forgot to start doing his voice.
Okay, I forgot to...
Well, Phil, let's be honest. We had to very quickly come up with a reason why Phil hadn't used Robert's voice yet. And are you conflicted about using a black man's voice, or...
No.
Well, then why didn't you start using his voice?
I don't know. I just,
Yeah, see, that's, you know...
See, ladies and gentlemen, if you just joined the program, what you hear every day here on the Phil Henry Show is...
Wait, Margaret.
No, wait a minute. It's time to get this said. What you hear every day on the Phil Henry Show is the mad dialogue, is the mad conversation that goes on inside of Phil's head... That we are able to delineate, okay?
All right, Margaret, don't start yelling into the microphone.
Delineate.
Don't yell in the mic, Margaret.
By using these different characters, myself, Bud, Robert, and the General, and others, all represent aspects of Phil's mind. As destroyed as it may be, as warped as it may be, as corrupted as it may be, and at times, yes, as clear and as sharp as it may be, but most of the time as corrupted and vile.
Okay.
What?
Get to it. Come on, Margaret.
All right, this is the madness of Phil, and what you're hearing is the conversation that takes place in his head. For some reason, he forgot to start doing Robert's voice.
Oh, here comes Robert now.
Yeah, here comes Robert now through the door.
Yeah, from being late.
He said, I'm late for what?
Late for work.
I thought I was on time.
What time does it say?
Well, there's no set time.
Phil, there's no set time for the show.
All right, I'm sorry, Robert. I forgot to start doing your voice. And...
Oh, okay.
Robert Leonard, folks.
Yeah, I've got, yeah, that's right. I got held up on PCH.
All right, held up on PCH. So, Robert, we're talking about the pre-show. Did you listen to any of the pre-show?
How could I?
Because...
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was going to say, you chew a hell of a lot of bubble gum.
Yeah, now, that's what you were going to talk about. The fact that lately, this guy has been chewing more bubble gum. Holy God.
Now, what is that about, Phil?
Yeah, well, the thing that he explained...
Let me explain it.
Yeah, and you gagged, by the way. I can't breathe, but you're the one that gagged.
Sorry. Yeah. For some reason, and I don't know what it is, I think it's because I miss smoke. I have to tell you, I think it's got something to do with me not smoking cigarettes anymore. Because you never do get rid of the craving. I quit smoking cigarettes. It will be 9 years this coming Christmas. So it was, what would that be?
Yeah, nice going. 10 years, you didn't even know?
No, 10 years, I'm sorry.
2009, Christmas 2009.
Yeah, Christmas of 2009, I quit smoking. And coincidentally, Christmas 2009 is when I got double pneumonia.
Which is the reason why you quit smoking.
Exactly, I was in the hospital, and I couldn't breathe. As I think about it right now, it's hard to breathe. So coming up on that 10-year anniversary, I reflect on the fact that I never have gotten rid of the craving for tobacco. Now, I haven't smoked, and I won't smoke. I just, you know that about myself.
Now, how do you know, Mr. Leonard, you're not going to smoke?
Yeah, I mean, how can you be sure?
Because I just know, okay?
Well, you can't ever really be sure, can you?
I just know I'm never going to smoke. I just can tell you, I'm never going to smoke. As much as I'd love to smoke, as much as there are times that I crave tobacco, there's no way in hell that at my age, at this point in my life, I'm going to go back to smoking cigarettes unless, you know...
Yeah, what if God came down and said, okay, you get to live forever?
Okay, then I'll start smoking.
Yeah, well, you get to live forever, but with a constant case of lung cancer. Oh!
God damn!
Boy, Margaret, that's sadistic!
Well, you didn't think of that, did you?
Okay, if God said you get to live forever, but you still may get lung cancer, well, then what difference would it make?
Yeah, who cares? If he's going to live forever, then he has lung cancer, but he's going to live forever.
And he has lung cancer, but he's going to live forever. What's your point?
Well, his point is the same point that I'm making.
Yeah, in other words, you could smoke, and you know you're not going to die when you got lung cancer.
What if you're retching blood up every morning, just puking it up like a river of blood?
All right, General.
What if... All right, you're right. What's the point of living forever unless you're living in comfort? And if you can't live in comfort, why would you want to live forever? So, good point. I would, in that case, quit. Who cares, man? I'm not going to live forever. So the point is, no, I'll never go back to smoking cigarettes. And don't ask me if I'm sure, because yes, I am. Okay?
Yeah, okay, Dad. Learn, son. Just got to figure it out.
So quit messing with that paper, will you? I'm sorry. So, yeah, but for some reason of late, I think it's all the vaping and stuff. And you know, when last week I saw somebody vaping. I don't know, I hope I'm not talking. Well, I better not say
it. Don't say it. It was one of the people on the show that Phil was doing. A major star was vaping, and...
Never, you're about to say who it is.
No, I'm not.
You are about to say... So I saw somebody vaping, and I made the comment offhand to somebody, one of the crewers. Geez, that looks like a... Don't do it. You know, they're like in unison. Don't you start. I said, well, I quit smoking. So did they. I said, we quit smoking too. Don't you vape, because vaping's the same damn thing.
Yeah, well, how can it be the same thing? I heard it's like,
I heard it's not smoke.
It's still nicotine, man, and it's still carcinogens in the vapor, and it's still just jacked up, okay? So forget it. And besides, I don't know, man, I'm never going to get used to being, if I was a vapor, I'm not going to get used to smoking out of some metal box. What the hell is that, man?
What are you talking about?
That's when you vape.
Spoken out of a metal box.
General, haven't you seen the young people in the bars and the bistros and the nightclubs about town? And you'll see them suddenly take some metallic thing out of their pocket and suck on it.
Yeah.
No, I can't say as I have.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, you can keep it in your pocket. Just pull it out of your pocket and...
Yeah, well, I've heard of vaping. I don't know if it's gotten that weird, though.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. But I would say the kookiest thing I ever saw And I kind of have to say, I dug watching this happen, is I was in a restaurant, in an Indian restaurant in, well, I won't say the town because then you would be able to narrow it down, but...
yeah, it starts with...
Don't do it, Bud. You know what? Bud, you're always trying to ruin it.
All right.
I'm serious. If you say it, Bud, people are going to know which one because it's a small town, okay?
All right. I would never run a man out of business.
Okay.
But the town is...
I'm just kidding. Phil, get your hands off his throat. Kick your ass, man.
God damn, son.
Maybe you want to leave and come in again.
No. God, Charles, choke me to death, man.
What did I tell you, man? Don't say it.
It's the... All right, okay. I won't. It's pretty good.
God, man. Anyway.
My God, he went after the man's throat.
All right, Margaret, don't be melodramatic. So I'm in a restaurant, an Indian restaurant, with a friend of mine who's visiting. And this friend of mine pulled out a vape, you know, weed, basically, marijuana, and started just lit this freaking thing up in this restaurant. That's the first and only time I've seen somebody smoking marijuana in a restaurant, in public. Nobody knows. No one cares.
Well, what do you mean no one knew?
No, this was when vaping was just starting, you know. And so she was able to sort of, I guess, surreptitiously puff on this marijuana, you know, this vape cigarette, and then just put it back in her purse or whatever. I watched her do it, you know, for like 15 minutes, marveling at this.
Well, you said you thought that was cool or something?
Well, sure. What's not cool about it?
You know, that person, you could get this...
Slow down, General.
I was going to say the restaurant could lose its license.
No, it couldn't, because vaping is legal. Or I think it was legal. I don't know what's legal, you know.
Well, this was before marijuana became legal in California.
Yeah, but they still had medical marijuana clinics, and this person had a medical marijuana license. I don't know. You'd probably there'd be a cop that would have issued a citation, and then the restaurant would have thrown us out and barred us from being in there forever. I don't know. But that was one of the... Anyway, the whole reason why I got into this whole bunch of crap is because I'm chewing a lot of bubble gum these days, and I really dig it, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
World famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California is brought to you by DeGruyter's Vegetables and Fruits.
Hi, Maury DeGruyter here at DeGruyter's Vegetables and Fruits. I know you want to make that big-time salad, the one you've been wanting, the one you've been thinking about, the one you've been dreaming about, that you've been plotting and planning, but you just don't know where to go to get the fresh fruits and the vegetables. Well, DeGruyter's is the place. Since 1951, my father, my grandfather, then his brother, then his sister, then me, my sister, and your sister. I'm just kidding. We have been running DeGruyter's right into the ground. I'm kidding again. We've been running DeGruyter's as a first-class, top-notch vegetable and fruit stand. We're at the corner 17th and Voguta, and that's right through the pasture there, out at the east end of the Oxnard Airport. You can't miss it. In fact, if you're in an airplane and you're aiming for it, you won't miss it. At least Dave Dixon didn't miss it in 1962 when he crashed his Cessna right into the pickles.
DeGruyter's Vegetables and Fruits. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. So yesterday, it was not a controversy that erupted on the air. It was a controversy that didn't get erupted on the air.
You mean didn't erupt on the air?
Yeah, didn't erupt on the air. It erupted, if you'll pardon the use of the term erupt.
It was something that came up in your mind.
Yeah, something came up in my mind after the show, and that was the Vernon Dozier and Dr. Jim Sadler, their wives. They have wives that are a good deal younger than them, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But beyond that is the fact that I both think they're named the same or similar. They have similar names. With me is Dr. Jim Sadler and Vernon Dozier. And Coach Dozier, thank you. You were on our encore show.
That was my understanding. I heard that Dickman said I was on. I'd been talking about... Was that the one that I hosted?
Yeah, that you hosted the show.
You hosted the show, and you also got into a, Coach, you got into a discussion of your wife, Mandy, where you met her, etc.
Oh, I remember that show. Yeah, that was like a year or so ago, wasn't it? Or thereabouts.
Yeah, that was last year. And Dr. Jim Sadler joining us in San Diego from his office. Dr. Sadler, this all started when, you know, as I said, when Vernon's wife Mandy came up.
Right, well, and the danger of, under the threat of, blowing it, you know, not giving you a segment of radio.
What is he saying? Hold on. Go ahead.
My wife's name is Mindy.
Right. My wife's name is Mandy.
Okay, so that's what somebody mentioned that.
Yeah, I texted it, and somebody said that wasn't true.
I thought they were both named Mandy.
No, they're I didn't know. My wife's name is Mandy. And Dr. Sadler, are you... And by the way, I think we've met a couple of times at the Phil Henry programming meetings.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. Yeah, my wife is named Mindy, and your wife is Mandy, right?
That's right. And I don't know anything else about you, except that I know you're a doctor.
Well, yeah, but I met my wife. I'm a weightlifter, so we have a little bit in common. I know you're a coach.
I coach football and basketball and sometimes baseball.
Right. Well, I'm not such an athlete as I coach, but I've done some weightlifting competitions, and I've been pretty much into weightlifting and bodybuilding for quite some time now.
And your wife, now, when did you marry your wife?
Well, I married Mindy just a few years ago. She was 25, and I was 52. So it's not quite the age difference. And you and your wife are...
We're separated by 30 years.
All right, separated by 30 years. And you're in your late 50s, too?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably where the confusion came from, Phil.
Well, and there wasn't so much the confusion in terms of the fact that you are both married to younger women. It was the names.
Yeah, I can understand that. But my wife's name is Mindy, and Coach Dozier, your wife's name is... excuse me.
No, it's my wife's name is Mandy. No, I'm sorry. My wife's name is Mindy, and your wife's name is Mundy.
No. Are you trying to do a comedy bit or something?
No, I just realized.
That's what I thought. Your wife's name is Mindy.
Who, mine?
No, Coach Dozier.
Yeah, my wife's name is Mindy. Your wife's name is Mundy. Shit.
Oh, I see where this bit's going to go. So you guys will spend the next 20 minutes butchering up the name Mandy, Mindy, Mumby.
Yeah, mum. How about Gumby?
Tag Gumby.
Yeah, what about Gumby? How about Pokey?
Okay, so no, that's not. Is that how it's supposed to go, Phil?
What part of your mind is coming apart this morning, Phil?
This has to do with the fact that Coach Dozier was on yesterday on our Encore show talking about how he met Mandy, and I remember Dr. Sadler saying he was married to a woman named Mandy as well. That's why we called you up, Dr. Sadler, not because of any conflict going on in my mind.
My wife's name is Mindy. I met my wife, Mindy, 16 years ago when she was a 24-year-old woman, and I was in my early 40s. Today, you know, I'm pushing 60, but then, you know, that's life, and she's well into her 30s. Now, I know that Coach Dozier, you are a little bit younger than me, and you what? But the similarity in the names probably has to do generationally with things.
Well, that's a name that I guess was popular when those two women were, although there's a difference of some 15 or 20 years between the two women, right?
I don't know. My wife is 32. How old's your wife?
Okay, my wife is 38.
Yeah, that's about the same generation. Yeah, so that my wife's name is...
I got it, Mindy?
No, my wife's name is Mandy.
My wife's name is Mindy. And that's as funny as that's going to get, I think. Unless you can think of anything else.
No, I think that's about it, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you very much, and...
Don't call us, we'll call you.
Okay, thanks. Coach Dozier and Dr. Jim Sadler here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Meanwhile, across town, Stephen Bozell talking to us from Hawaiian Gardens, California here, and this is something that I never anticipated you'd be asking me, Steve, but go for it, man. What's on your mind?
Phil, I wanted to ask you, and thank you for taking my call. If you had any connections, I'd talk to Morgan about it.
Yeah, just I think you've got the right approach, Steve. Go ahead.
I wondered if you had the ability to get a TV pilot made, and I would never ask you, Mr. Henry, because I know, you know, you probably get asked a lot of favors all the time, but I just want to say please, if you would you please.
Please help him get a...
Please help me get a TV pilot done.
Okay, I mean, I don't know why you would think just because I was working on one that I would have those kinds of connections, because I don't.
You can't just, like, call somebody up?
Okay, couldn't you call someone up, or...
No, I can't. I mean, I don't know anybody that can just say, okay, yeah, go ahead and... Frankly, Steve, if I did, I probably, you know, would write one for myself, but...
I understand you're very busy, but I think you're underselling yourself. I mean, you just worked with on a big show with big stars and a big director and everything. so I think you're underselling it.
Yeah, Phil, if you think about it, you probably could.
Yeah, Phil, well, why not give it a try?
Give what a try, man? I wouldn't even know who to talk to first. Okay?
Don't you have an agent?
Yeah, I got an agent. What, do you want me to ask my agent if she'll represent you? Is that it?
Well, I mean, I don't need that. I don't want to go through the whole process of having an agent. I want to have the show made because it's good. I got a million-dollar idea here, and I got the idea, Mr. Henry, when I heard that you were going to be on, you know, on doing a pilot and everything like you did last week.
Okay, what is the idea?
Well, I'm a little reluctant.
Well, be careful, Steve. You don't want to just spill it out here on the air.
Yeah, see, I'm a little reluctant to tell people because.
Yeah, somebody's gonna come along and steal it.
I doubt seriously, Steve. Didn't you say this is about your family?
Yeah, well, the idea, it's called the Bozells, and it features Steve Bozell, that would be me, and my wife, April, who is my wife, April, and then Steve Jr., played by, you know, a guy playing Steve Jr., and April Jr., played by April Jr., not played by April Jr.
And which, Roy Hutchins? And
yeah, and there'd be Roy Hutchins, who's my next-door neighbor, played by an actor that would play him, and...
Let's just assume that whoever... What about Cliff Pettigrew?
Yeah, Cliff Pettigrew...
Would be played by an actor that would play Pip...
His name isn't Pip.
I mean Cliff Pettigrew.
Yeah, Cliff Pettigrew.
But what's the show about?
So, the show is about the dad, who is Mr. Bozell, and all of the things that he goes through every day, trying to maintain his dignity in a world that's just trying to tear it down. You know?
And this is a sitcom.
Yes, sir, it is a sitcom, because that can present some very funny... I mean, ultimately, at the end of every show, he wins out and shows everyone how they tore his dignity to shreds and how he rose up and overcame it. But still...
Well, what makes it funny?
Well, what makes it funny, I think, is when they'll... Like, for instance, in one episode... I take these are real episodes from my life, too, Mr. Ernie. Like, when my daughter's dog urinated on me...
So that's where the comedy comes in, right?
No, I wouldn't call that. I mean, I guess you would, but...
That's the funny part.
No, that's not the funny part is my dog... Here's what happened in real life.
Well, we remember. You wound up suing the dog.
Hold on. In real life, my daughter got a little Pekingese, and it defecated and urinated on me. Okay. And I got angry, and I, you know, went back to... She was at my neighbor's house. She was over there at the Hutchins house. And I got angry, and I hosed off, and I washed off and everything. And then my wife said, "What happened?" And I said, "The dog, you know, whizzed on me and crapped on me."
And that's the funny part.
No. The funny part is when I go, "But guess what? I'm going to sue my daughter and sue the dog."
Well, that's... Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's not...
I wouldn't say that's the funniest part is that the dog crapped on you.
Yeah, but you got to admit.
Got to admit, Mr. Bozell said he's going to sue the dog.
Yeah, see, because Cliff Pettigrew told me later on, the funniest thing he ever heard in his life was the fact that I was going to sue my own daughter and sue her dog. And then when I told him I was serious, then he looked frightened, you know, and he didn't have any contact with me for at least a month.
But why was he frightened? Because he thought you were nuts, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that was probably it. All right, so anyway, this is going to be a sitcom, and you want to do a pilot.
I want to do a pilot, and I'm hoping that you will go ahead and grant my request that you'll go ahead and call people to have it made, Mr. Henry.
I can't. I don't have that kind of juice or say or anything like that, Steve. I just don't, man. I'm not a producer.
Please, I'm begging you, please, because I know you do. Please, I swear to God, Mr. Henry, if you'll do this, I'll let you have a piece of the profits, because I know the Bozells would be a smash hit.
Steve, can I just say something here?
If you're going to start to bum my trip out...
No, I'm not going to do that, Steve. But if you have a television program that's based on your family life, and you're bringing into it all of these different events, such as the dog defecating on you and so on, you're going to have to pinpoint where the real funny stuff is.
Now, when you say you're going to sue the dog and sue your daughter, that's funny. But you don't see the humor in the fact that the dog crapped on you in the first place.
No, not really. I understand where you do. I understand where other people would say, "Ha ha, Steve Bozell just had another dog dump on him." Oh, man.
Don't get hurt. I mean,
yeah, don't get hurt. Just keep the bell in the idea.
All right, well, I mean, I can understand where... But for me, that was the funny part. And the other idea that I had was when when Roy Hutchins grew that, like... 12-inch long zucchini, if you remember, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, and he was showing your wife and daughter?
Yeah, well, the funny part was when I said, I'm suing you, Hutchins, for showing my wife and daughter some Johnny Wad, you know, looking zucchini.
Yeah, to you, that's the funny part.
Yeah, that's funny.
I will admit to you, Steve, that it's funny when you sue people.
Well, it's not always funny, because a lot of times it's very traumatic for me. That was one where it was traumatic for that. Not that one, but there have been several that have been traumatic for me.
Well, all right, which one was traumatic for you?
Well, there have been many that were traumatic. For instance, when Hutchins' bird, his minor bird, called me an a-hole, I was like, what? I mean, all I did was come in, because he said to me, you can come to the back door and go ahead and pick up that measuring tape you had. I had construction tape that I had to pick up. And I went back through the back door. He had a minor bird sitting in a cage. The bird goes, Steve Bozell, he's an a-hole. Steve, you know, he said the whole word, though, A-S-S. And there's a minor bird sitting there in a cage going, ha, you know, Steve Bozell's an asshole. Pardon me, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead, that's right.
Steve Bozell's an asshole. And that hurt me bad. Boy,
Hey, Bozell, let me ask you something.
I can tell you're going to be sarcastic.
Oh, no, I really... So you don't think it's funny that when the bird calls you an a-hole, but you do think it's funny when, what was it, Hutchins shows your wife and daughter a zucchini that's 12 inches long?
No, I said that was not funny.
No, he said suing Hutchins.
Yeah, suing Hutchins, that's funny, because the look on Hutchins' face was like, what? You know, and
you sued him why again?
Because that's my wife and daughter, okay? And if you can't protect the women in your family...
What do you... I remember this time now, because you came on the show. Dolores, by the way, that lawsuit, did it go forward?
By the way. No, it didn't. It didn't, because Hutchins apologized, and he paid my attorney fees.
You gotta be kidding me.
Well, are you telling me Hutchins bent over for that?
I mean, he shows my wife and daughter a 12-inch zucchini. This Johnny... I said, and the court reflected in the court filing... I said, Roy Hutchins showed my wife and daughter some Johnny the Wad Holmes looking zucchini. I mean, what?
And the court went ahead
No, the court didn't. He just paid me off. He paid my attorney fees.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's bending over and touching the ankles on that one.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're right, you're right.
What are your attorney's fees, by the way?
I mean...
What are that? You pay her a retainer?
Yeah, I pay her a retainer. I mean, I pay Dolores Blasingame a retainer $200 a month.
What?
What are you talking about? $200 a month.
Yeah, I mean, that's... What do you think I'm going to pay her?
And that's what the court awarded you?
The court said for Hutchins to pay me $200.
That's the retainer that you're on.
That's the retainer. She'll do 1 hour's worth of work if I hire her for more.
But you can call her up and...
I can call her up once a month and talk to her for an hour.
And then after that, you got to start paying more.
Yes. Boy, look at Phil figuring it out. Hey...
This is the most asinine thing I ever heard in my life.
Are you a guy that needs a lawyer? You may. I need a lawyer.
You might as well, if you're going to put this woman on retainer, this attorney on retainer, you might as well give her some money, man, where you can talk to her for more than an hour.
I make sure that Dolores Blasingame is nailed down, if you pardon the expression, nailed down for a good hour a month.
So you can just call her up and bang her ear.
God damn.
Watch it, Henry, will you, with this language?
Phil...
Watch it with what language?
Talking about banging her, nailing her and banging her.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you can call her up and bore her for an hour a month.
Bore her? I'm calling her up with bona fide boy, oh boy. I'm calling her up with bona fide queen.
Steve Bozell, you want to get a handkerchief or blow your nose or something?
Yeah, excuse me for a minute.
Steve Bozell talking to us about a TV show that he wants to produce. By the way, Steve...
Hold on, will you?
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, Mr. Henry.
Okay, the TV show that you want to produce, this sitcom called The Bozells, do you want the network to produce it?
No, I just want you to talk to them so they'll put it on the air.
No, man, I can't do it. Not, I don't have that kind of power.
Well, can you have them pay? I've got a production company, okay, but it's a good one, but I'm hoping we can get a better one.
Well, who's the company that's going to do it?
It's the husband of a friend of April's who, you know, I'll say it, and you know, like Chris Norton, he has his experiences in producing adult movies, and he's done porn and adult films. And he's done some gay porn from his house. But the lighting, the camera work, it's all top-notch.
So you want this guy, this is the guy that's going to produce your pilot.
Yeah, I mean, what do you, this is, what we're going to do is clean.
Where is he going to shoot it?
At our house.
All right, so all you're asking of me...
All I'm asking of you is to get it in front of the right people so they turn it into a TV show.
Forget it, man. Won't happen.
Wow, thanks a lot, Phil.
Well, Steve, Phil's saying he's not going to be able to get anybody to talk anybody to make it into a TV show.
They're going to make it into a TV show if they want to. I mean, if it looks like a TV show to them. They're going to take my word for it.
You've been, ever since you got into radio, from the time I started listening to you in L.A., you've done TV shows, too.
I ain't done so many TV shows, man, that I can go and tell a guy, hey, go ahead and make this into a TV series.
Phil, this, that no one has that power other than the people that make those decisions at the various networks. Those would be the presidents of entertainment and television, comedy development, so on and so forth. Now then, I happen to know...
All right, well, thank you very much, Ms. Gray.
Don't interrupt me, Steve. You asked a question. I happen to know Sarah Glisson, who's the head of comedy at Brown House. Is that what you're talking about?
Who?
Who? Boy, this guy...
Who's Sarah Glisson at Brown House?
Never heard of her.
Oh, well, because you've never heard of her. She happens to be one of the top comedy development... Forget it.
I mean, I think I know all the big ones.
If you know all the big ones, man, why don't you call them up and you talk to them?
Oh, yeah, right. They're not going to take my phone call. Please. Please, Mr. Henry.
Oh, you're embarrassing yourself. Mr. Henry can't do that.
Yeah, well, you can beg the guy all day.
I'm just saying, Mr. Henry, please. Would you please?
No, man, I'm not going to do it because I can't. Not because I don't want to, because I can't. And then again, if I see your pilot, I may not want to.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, have you produced this yet?
We're going to go into production starting, you know, like tomorrow.
Oh, it just so happens to be tomorrow.
Well, I wanted to find out what your answer was.
If I told you that I could make sure this was on the air, would you even bother to make a pilot?
Of course we would. I mean, we're going to make the pilot. But I wanted to get a commitment somehow.
You don't even know how this works, man.
Oh, here's Mr. I thought you said you wasn't Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, but you don't have to be Mr. Hollywood to figure this stuff out.
Look, Bozell, don't sit there like the king of the jackballs, all right? Like the jackball par excellence. Figure it out, man. They want to see what you got. And if they see what you got, maybe they're going to buy it. I doubt it, but maybe.
Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to produce this. And
I mean, you got the husband of a friend of April's, a guy who's done porn, and he's done really good quality porn as far as you're concerned, right?
Yeah, top notch. I've seen it. The lighting's great. I mean, some of the acting is real good, too. I mean, you know, a lot of these adult films, you've seen them, Phil, there's a lot of very graphic sex, but they also have quality acting, and, you know, I'm telling you, man.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. So, what are you talking about?
I mean...
Never mind, man. All right, I'll take your word for it. And he's produced some of these?
Yeah, he has. He's done, I mean, I'm not saying the guy, he's done all kinds of porn. He's done some borderline stuff.
Well, what does that mean, dude?
I mean, it's not nothing illegal, but I'm talking about, like, you know, she-males and...
Jesus H. Christ, is this the best you can do for a guy that's going to shoot your sitcom?
Well, it's not going to be the sitcom, it's just the pilot.
Well, I can't. I'm sorry to hear that you got to go with this cat because, you know, it sounds kind of sketchy to me. But, dude, I can't get you anybody at any network to do anything. All right, so.
And here, well, even if I said, how about if I cut you in?
It doesn't matter, Steve. You could promise me $1 billion and I wouldn't be able to do it, okay? So.
Oh, wow, man. Reevaluate you.
What do you mean reevaluate?
Well, you heard what he said.
You mean reevaluate?
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, you just go right ahead and reevaluate me then, Steve, okay? Because, A, I ain't got those kind of connections. B, if I did, I'm not sure that I, you know, would do anything for you. And even if I wanted to do something for you, I'd remember the conversation that we're having right now, and then I'd decide, no, I don't want to do anything for you. And even if I was able to overcome that, I'd still realize that you were willing to go with some guy who... Oh, man.
You were willing to go with some guy who shoots she-male porn?
Yeah, because it's good...
Yeah, it's good quality stuff.
Yeah, I bet you... Yeah, I'll bet it's quality stuff. With you spanking it.
Hey, man, I'm... You know what? I didn't insult anybody here.
All right, say you're sorry, bud.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't insult anybody here. I come on here with the best of intentions. And I just want to say it again, Mr. Henry. Please, Mr. Henry.
I can't do it. Bozell, are you an idiot or something? And you listen to me? I can't do it.
Boy, talk about a guy with negative thinking. if you thought positively about it...
I'm not going to go in there, man, and embark on a project that I can't see through. There's no way in hell, man. They don't know me from Adam, Jack. I'm just some clown that goes over there and acts in front of a camera every now and again. That's it. Period. End of discussion.
Boy, oh boy, man.
Well, Steve, what are you, a child? You run a business, a construction business. And I guess a successful one, because you've been in business for a long time, but you seem to think you can just have a friend of yours who happens to have been on a TV show once or twice to go in and talk to these people and say, oh, please, 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 not only just make the pilot, but make the show.
Yeah, you used to say, at least they'll make six, right?
I used to say what?
Didn't you say that they made six, like they'll make six?
Hey, Bozell, mate, you know what? I used to say they'll make six, too, but I was talking about taquitos.
Taquitos.
All right, you know, that's fine. Giggle it up and laugh it up and get every kind of giggle you can get. You know, the more giggles, the merrier. Because when I get done, and I get done with this pilot, you'll be hanging on for mercy. I guarantee. Yeah, see, this is how you get your rocks off, Mr. Henry, laughing at me.
No, it's just, you know, Steve, you're your own worst enemy, man.
That right there, bingo, you really are.
Oh, how's that?
Because you come in here with these expectations that are unrealistic, you ask and beg and plead, you get upset, you start to cry, like 90% of the cats that we have on the show anyway, and then you go away feeling like you've been somehow misserved, like somebody has backstabbed you. You ask for the most ridiculous stuff, it's impossible to get it done, and when it can't get done, you feel like someone stuck you in the back, and you want to sue them.
You're telling me, with a straight face, that you can't go over there and...
No, I can't. Don't even finish the question. No, I can't.
You understand, Steve?
Finally! God damn, Margaret.
Margaret, what is wrong with you?
Holy Christ.
You know, I'm tired of it.
Sit down over there, Miss Gray.
Lay down, Margaret. Get her some water.
Margaret, do you want some? We got some of that good lemonade.
Is she okay?
No, she's not. I think people are just tired of listening to you whine, Steve, okay?
I haven't been on this goddamn. I have been on your mother.
Steve Bozell, ladies and gentlemen. Margaret.
I'm tired of it, you know, listening to him. It's either him or me, Bob, Ed.
It's either him or you?
Yeah, who was that, by the way?
Steve Bozell.
Okay, that'll do. It's either Steve...
Thank you, Margaret. Have yourself... Hey, Bud, why don't you give her some of that...
Come on, some of this Rachel's ginger beer.
Is that the stuff with the lemonade?
Yeah.
No.
Come on, Margaret, you love that stuff. Jesus. All right, folks. World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Remember, get a backstage pass to our world-famous Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. Just go to the website, sign up for a month or a year, and have at your fingertips not only 35,000-plus hours of archived radio, great classic radio, great classic audio comedy, but also be a member of our backstage pass family, be a part of our Friday night chats and our live streaming events, such as our live streaming show on Sunday night and last weekend. 48 hours, man, of... Art Bell material. Everybody was weighing in on that one.
Yeah,
we had like two straight days, man, of quality Art Bell stuff. It's all that and more. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.